Chapter 20. The tingle that kept running down Leia's spine couldn't be Jedi danger sense, not with a float van full of Isla Mari right beside her. She and her assistants had already secured 30 potted Obios inside the long cargo vehicle, each tree supporting at least two of the force-displacing reptiles. So she had to be standing inside a force void nearly as large as the loading dock itself. Yet she could not shake the feeling that something was wrong, that she simply was not seeing some threat to the Jedi patients they were about to move. Leia looked into the gloom beyond the two-story exit. The opening was covered by a state-of-the-art mirror field, which allowed her to see out without letting anyone see in. The labyrinthine depths beneath Fellowship Plaza were among the busiest freight routes on Coruscant, traversed at all hours by a constant flow of cargo vehicles, and beyond the field lay an erratic blur of traffic. Even on good days, traffic was slow, congested, and dangerous, with accidents common and deaths frequent. Today was about average, with hover sleds as long as 300 meters lurching down the skylane in stop-and-go river of running lights. Han came to stand with her on the float van's mid-body loading ramp. Three Jedi Knights were already lying in their stasis bunks inside the van, but his attention was not on them. Instead, he was looking out into the traffic, the same as Leia was.
"Yeah, I see it too," he said. "Those boom buggies don't belong down here, and they sure the Kark don't have any business parking on the Kravis."
Leia looked again and realized that Han's instincts were, as usual, dead on. The Kravis Inn was one of the grungy under-plaza hostel towers that provided convenient tourist accommodations at cut-rate prices. Resting in the parking area atop its roof were a pair of ruggedly sleek Aerotech beam streaks. Used by Coruscant Enforcement Services as pursuit speeders, the beam streaks were as pricey as they were perilous. Vehicles actually advertised as so fast that to crash one was to die in one. Leia frowned. Obviously, a beam streak was the last vehicle a tourist staying at the Kravis Inn was likely to rent. But anyone hoping to use the hostel to spy on activities inside the loading dock would be frustrated by the mirror field's reflective exterior. Unless they had one of the new Psi-Corp wall scope surveillance packages being developed for military intelligence. It seemed unthinkable that Dalla would put such a top-secret espionage asset in the hands of a domestic security squad watching Jedi. But lately, the unthinkable had been happening a lot. Just a year earlier, who would have believed that a pair of Jedi Knights would be hanging in carbonite inside a government building? Or that a Galactic Alliance Chief of State would view the Jedi Order as a threat to the same society it had served so faithfully since its very inception? "Some days, I really miss running the government myself," Leia groused. "Who do you think they are? GAS? Han thought about it for a moment, then shook his head.
"Can't be."
He hitched a thumb toward the rear of the loading dock, where R2-D2 and C-3PO stood at a main computer access portal. Then added,
"Not if Short-Circuit's comm interceptors are right. Dalla is worried about Jaina busting Valen and Gisela out of her secret prison, so she's called everyone back to stand watch around the place."
"Jaina does have a gift for making people nervous," Leia said, feeling a flush of pride. "She takes after her father that way."
Han's expression darkened, and without responding, he turned back toward the mirror field. He was still furious with Jaina for keeping Jag's secret, and he was even more upset with Jag for not telling them about the Mandalorians in the first place. Truthfully, Leia was still angry too. The difference was, Leia actually felt some sympathy for her daughter. Perhaps because she herself had once been torn between her loyalty to the Rebellion and her love for a man who did not always share her loyalties. Fortunately, Han was the kind of man who always put friends first, so his own loyalties had gradually grown close enough to Leia's for them to make a life together. But that wasn't going to happen with Jag. The core of his being was built around honor and duty, and his duty now lay with the Imperial Remnant. To ask him to turn his back on that would be to ask him to stop being Jagged Fell. So if he and Jaina were going to make a life together, it would have to be her loyalties that grew closer to Jag's. And that possibility, Leia suspected, was what really frightened Han. That Jaina might choose Jagged Fell and the Imperial Remnant over her parents and the Jedi. Leia took Han's hand and gave it a reassuring squeeze.
"Whatever Jaina does, You know she's going to be okay.
Han continued to look out toward the Krabbis's blinking red sign.
Of course she is. It's them I'm worried about.
He pointed at the beam streaks parked on the hostel's roof.
A GAS squad would know better than to bring those things down here. Gotta be someone from off-world.
Leia's stomach sank. The Mandos? Already?
That's my guess,
Han nodded.
Probably an advanced team. If Dala wants to send commandos in after the patients, they'd try for some reconnaissance. I know I would.
That's going to complicate things, Leia said. The whole reason they were sneaking the patients out of the temple was to put them out of Dala's reach on Shidu Maat. But we can't wait. Things are only going to grow more difficult.
No kidding, Han said. But even if it is a recon team, I don't see them causing us a problem.
I'd like to be sure about that, Leia said.
She glanced toward the back of the docks, where Tekli, Raynar, and half a dozen other Jedi Knights were escorting Basil Warv's hulking green bulk toward the float van.